Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Whitehaven Coal Quarterly Report Investor Briefing. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session for analysts only, at which time, if you wish to queue for a question, you will need to press zero followed by one on your telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded today, Thursday, the 12th of October, 2017. I would now like to hand the conference over to your host today, Mr. Paul Flynn, CEO and Managing Director. Thank you, sir. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator, and welcome everybody to our September quarter for 2017's production report. I'll go through the highlights as we traditionally do, and then go through the detail of the discussion and try and get to the Q&A as soon as possible. For the September quarter, it's been a very solid start to the year, which has been pleasing. Unlike the previous quarter for last year, the first quarter was typified by some weather which had caused us a little bit of disruption in that first quarter, but this quarter has not experienced the same degree of weather, so we've put some solid numbers together for what we believe is a very good start for the year. Starting at the top, certainly safety continuing on the good trajectory that we've exhibited for the year end in June, and having published some very good numbers, we're continuing that rate of improvement there at 6.75 for our TRIFR, which is great. ROM coal production at 5.7 million tonnes is 5% up on the previous corresponding period. Our record saleable coal production at 5.9, 14% up period on period, has certainly been a good result, as has coal sales being at 6.1 million tonnes, 21% up on the previous corresponding period. All of this enabled by carrying good stocks, obviously, into this new financial year. Record railings has been also a feature of this at 6 million tonnes for the quarter, certainly surpassing by some measure our previous corresponding period and previous quarter's record. Maules Creek operated at 10.5 million tonnes as expected, which has been very, very pleasing. And Narrabri, of course, has manoeuvred its way through that fault zone in longwall panel 7 without any particular issues at all, which is great. As you see the chart down the bottom there on our managed production sales and highlights for the quarter, 5.7 versus 5.4, as I say, 5% up. 5.9 on our saleable coal production versus 5.2, some 14% up period on period. And our managed total coal sales at 6.1 versus 5.02, or 03, 21% up from the previous corresponding period. As I say, being a very, very positive start to this new financial year. Safety, as I say, certainly has been a concerted effort to try and make sure that we continue our rate of improvement across the business, and it's pleasing to say in this quarter we've certainly done well with four of our operations having not recorded a recordable injury at all, which is very, very positive. But, you know, lots yet to be done, and we think we can continue to improve and have various safety initiatives planned for this next coming quarter to try and continue that momentum. Coal sales, as I say, September 6.1 million tonnes, 21% up on the previous corresponding period, is well ahead of the previous quarterly record of 5.5. The strong sales performance is certainly underwritten by those railings, as I mentioned, so that's been a very good effort to be able to move that amount of coal down to the port and obviously be able to underpin the sales program of that magnitude. Now, whilst those numbers are in line with our budget, so certainly a step up from where we've been previously in the past. Just in terms of coal sales splits for the period, and I'm sure we'll come to this a little bit later on in our discussion, the high CV sales mix for the quarter, 72%, met coal at 13%, and then our low CV sales, a little bit above where we've been in previous quarters at 15%, but this is really just quarter-on-quarter movements, as I'm sure everybody understands, that it doesn't happen uniformly throughout the year. Maules Creek, as I say, has done very, very well. So our ROM coal production there at 2.6 million tonnes is 37% up on the 1.9 that we produced in the previous corresponding period, which has been a good result. So, say, the mine's operating at the 10.5 million tonnes per annum rate, and with the final tranche of equipment required for the 13 million tonnes being delivered during the balance of this year, we certainly expect to have the productive capacity to go to 13 million tonnes on the ground by the time we start the FY19 financial year. Saleable coal production for the quarter, 2.436, 38% up, and sales for the quarter at 2.4, 21% up on the previous corresponding period. Sales are met at Maules Creek in particular at 16% for the quarter. Narrabri, importantly, has been able to navigate its way through that fault zone, as I said, and has done very well for this quarter, knocking off a pretty good solid result at 2.237 million tonnes for the ROM coal production, 5% up on the previous corresponding period, and saleable coal production at 2.1, being also in line with our previous corresponding period. Coal sales at just over 2 were about 7% up on the previous corresponding period. Roadway development close to 5.5 kilometres for the quarter has been a very good result. And our ventilation shaft project, as you know, has been going on, is certainly on time and budget and looking good. Further work is going on to delineate the zone or the faulted zone in longwall panels 10 and 11, and that work is continuing, and we expect to speak to that in more detail when we announce our next quarter's results. Gunnedah Ops, as you know, were asked during last year to step up and contribute some extra tonnes during last year as a result of certainly that wet weather, but then again in the second quarter of last year, Narrabri producing less tonnes. So we have allowed them to wind back a little bit and get back to a more normalised path of production. And so during this quarter, the Gunnedah open cuts in aggregate did 900,000 tonnes of ROM coal versus 1.2 for the previous corresponding period. Saleable coal production at 1.3 is 12%, up 12%, and coal stocks have fallen quite materially there by 600,000 tonnes period on period. Coal sales at 1.374, 20% up on the previous corresponding period again, obviously facilitated by bringing significant stocks into this new financial year. Tarrawonga at 475,000 tonnes compares to just over 500,000 tonnes the previous corresponding period. Again, as you would expect, the saleable coal production at 576,000 tonnes, 12% up on the previous corresponding period, with sales similarly up. Rocglen at 223,000 tonnes for the quarter is certainly lower than what we've done in the past, but again, that's really reflective of the fact that we'd asked for more of the production the previous year, and we're going to allow them to continue a more normalised approach to production this year. Whereas Creek at 200,000 tonnes has had a relatively slow quarter for this year versus 356,000 the previous corresponding period, but again, sales, as I say, enabled by significant stocks have been very positive. The Sunnyside mine, as we've highlighted to you in the past, we've made steps to reopen that, largely for the benefit, obviously, of rehabilitating the site. We think there's about 800,000 tonnes that will emerge over the next two financial periods, and so blasting has commenced during this past month in order to be able to start coal production. I mean, it's a relatively modest amount of coal that we're going to see coming out of this, but it, as I say, really is a rehabilitation exercise that, with this level of pricing, will facilitate the clean-up of this site and the closure of it over the next two years. The Vickery project and its EIS submission for the extension project is largely complete. As I said in the previous quarter, there is some final optimisation work that is going on, which continues. We don't expect that to continue for too much longer, but we're very close to lodging the documentation for that EIS, and the indicative timelines that we provided at June for the project are the same as what we would have provided, but obviously a little bit later, given that we're probably still another month or so away from finally dotting I's and T's and lodging our documentation. On coal prices for the period, there's always a little bit of discussion going on around this, and I'm sure this one will be no different, given that there has been quite some interesting gyrations around prices during this period. Obviously, with the settlements of semi-soft and the low-vol PCI numbers at 120 and 127 respectively, they bear some reference to our average price that we've achieved over the period of $109 for our semi-soft production, and for our thermal coal production, the average for the GC Nuke for the period at $94 compares to our realised pricing at $91 for that period. Not a bad result considering the mix that has changed, obviously, during this particular quarter for our low CV versus our high CV thermal coal sales. And as you know, with a relatively compressed spread between GC Nuke and the semi-soft pricing, there hasn't been a lot of incentive for people to be hitting that semi-soft production too much during this last period. So as a result, you've seen we've had more modest sales of semi-soft during this quarter than previous quarters. As far as the coal outlook goes, look, the market looks quite constructive for decent pricing going forward, so we're quite encouraged by what we see. Obviously, there's a few temporary, or what we hope for the sake of some of the producers, some temporary items that have caused some concern. Obviously, weather in Indonesia, some strike activity obviously here in Australia, but also stronger consumption in China has certainly caused China to be a stronger participant in the seaborne trade than what we were probably expecting to see, all of which has tightened up the market quite well. And of course, underpinned by what we see to be strong demand for our product in particular, coming out of our traditional markets. Most notable in that, aside from Japan, which is continuing to purchase more coal from us as a company, we see the Taiwanese gravitating more towards the SCoTA spec coal requirements for their new power stations, which is certainly driving incremental demand for our coal. So over the while, we think that does represent a period of pretty strong pricing overall, and we look forward to the next quarter and those beyond to underpin another set of pretty positive production and financial outcomes. Exploration, just for the sake of completeness, has been modest during the quarter, as has been in the past. So with that, a very strong start to the year, quite positive results considering at this time last year we were suffering with a bit of weather-related disturbances, I say, but this certainly has given us a decent start to this year, and I'll open the call up to questions.
Thank you very much, sir. If you wish to queue for a question, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press 0 then 2. Once again, that is 0 followed by 1. Your first question comes from the line of Clark Wilkins of Citi. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Great. Thank you. Hi, Paul. How are you?
Well, thanks, Clark. How are you going?
Good, good. Just a couple of questions. Firstly, with the that additional drilling for the sort of the longwall, you know, 110, 111 for Narrabri. Yeah, so back on the earnings call, you know, sort of in August, you seemed quite confident that you could mine through those. Does that additional drilling, is that a reflection of what you found out mining through it in the current longwall block, or is that just, you know, sort of being prudent? The other one, just in regards to the sales split, yeah, so you gave it for the quarter. Where would you expect that sales split to be for the full year between sort of the high sort of CV and low CV and also the semi-soft for the full year? And, you know, in that sort of realised price on the thermal side being below the sort of nuke, was, you know, was it purely driven by that higher, that lower CV being a high proportion, or were there other aspects there in terms of discounts?
Yep. Okay, I'll try and grab that, Clark. And as usual, I'm joined here by Jamie and Kevin, and Jamie can make some remarks about the longwall panel performance just for 07, then obviously what we're trying to investigate further in 10 and 11. I mean, as a result of very, very detailed and very active management of the transition through this faulted zone, you know, Narrabri has performed very, very well, and production's certainly been better than what we had budgeted, knowing that we were going to go through a sensitive section of panel 7. Now, that's been done really well, so I'm very, very pleased as to how that's performed. Looking forward, we think it's absolutely prudent that we understand the extent to which, I mean, it's unrealistic, I think, to think that this faulted zone appears in the next two panels after this and then doesn't continue on. So with that in mind, we think it's very prudent to be drilling further in addition to what we normally do for degassing, to make sure we understand that what we see from early data saying that there is a narrowing of this displacement in 10 and 11, we want to make sure that we understand that is certainly the case, and then formulate our plans around whether or not we think we need to drive through, we can drive through that as we have just done, or whether or not we are requiring a step around. But that's basically the logic that we're applying at the moment in terms of that additional drilling work that we're doing in that area. Jamie?
Yeah, I mean, just further to that, Clark, I don't think the message that we conveyed at the last call was that we were confident that we'd be mining through that fault in 110 and 111. I guess it was more about you know, as Paul's indicated, I guess, that there's a body of work that's required to be done, I guess, to give us more definitive information about the displacement of the fault. But certainly, you know, the displacement was in the order of what we've just gone through in 107, you know, sort of three metres, maybe even up to 4 metres. We'd certainly have a crack at taking a lot more through that. But if it's in the order of what we've seen in, what we know is in 108, and 109, well, then we're probably more likely to look at stepping around it. But, you know, given what we've just done in 107, we keep evaluating the potential to mine through those fault zones, because that went extremely well.
Clark, and in terms of your second question on sales splits, there's a number of features here, I suppose. You know, as you know, we'd carried a lot of stock into the new year, and as you'll know, our sales profile isn't necessarily, you know, total tonnes for the site divided by 12, you know, happening uniformly during the course of the year. So some months you've seen us have very strong mix of high CV thermal coal versus our low CV, and in this particular quarter we've flushed out a bit more of, you know, those low CV tonnes. The good thing about all that, obviously, is in this pricing environment, pricing for those low CV tonnes is obviously very positive relative to what you would have seen in the past. So I think the numbers that we're sort of reporting from our sales generally in the mid, you know, low to mid 80s numbers for low CV coal, which is very strong pricing for, you know, the likes of Werris Creek to be able to achieve that sort of result. We are certainly seeing, you know, with less incremental buying, I have to say, coming into the semi-soft market, and where we notice that mostly is probably less incremental buying out of China. Not that we're a great seller to China in any event itself, but it does contribute to the overall tightness or otherwise of that market. So we're probably seeing less, I'd have to say, incremental Chinese buying in the semi-soft market, which tells me they're satisfying their own needs for semi-soft, largely from the domestic production sources. So in our instance, if you look at today's Platts price versus you know, the GC Newc price, the spread is sufficient for us to still want to be able to produce the semi for, you know, where we've got good customers. If it's incremental tonnage that we're trying to get away, then you'll think about it. But it's certainly, well, 116 or somewhere in that order. That's certainly enough for us to still be incentivized to produce the semi from a financial perspective. Now, you know, obviously Maules Creek is the heart of this arbitrage activity. If you look at today's pricing for GC Newc at, you know, call it $95, plus our premiums, you're getting early 100s, and it's that difference between that early 100s and the 116 that I'm talking about. Having said that, I'm looking at our competitors in this space, their numbers, we think their requirement in terms of that spread is more like $20, $25 that they require US in order to be able to want to produce that semi. So if that is the case, then we'll probably see, you know, this market tighten up over time. But we're certainly ready and willing to try and push more tonnes into the market. And I wouldn't take our quarterly mix as being representative of where we're going to end up with the full year. I think it's really just, you know, a little bit of ebb and flow in a quarter-on-quarter basis during the course of the year. And our guidance in terms of our mix that we gave at June still holds.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Your next question comes from the line of Lyndon Fagan of JP Morgan. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Thanks, guys. Look, the first question is just on the met coal fraction at only 13%. I guess if I translate that to tonnage, it's sort of the lowest tonnage for about a year. Paul, you mentioned that there's less incremental buying out of China for semi-soft, but it looks as though you've actually had to pull back on your volume for that sort of product. Maybe if you could talk about whether there were any issues trying to sell cargoes, because it does look as though the spread between semi-soft and thermal made it attractive to sell into that market from a price point of view, but were there any issues in placing volume? And I guess what does that mean for sort of ramping up the met coal portion of Maules? And then I guess the next question was, if we look back at the guidance, it was a 60-40 spot contract type split for met coal. but you sort of got less than both of those. So just wondering whether we need to think about low-grade discounts similar to iron ore there. Thanks, guys.
Okay, Lynn, I'll try and knock on each of those aspects to that question. Look, the met coal fraction, I think, need to come back to the reference point for Platts sales prices during that period. So I mean, we've got quite a spread during this last quarter, where you had as low as low 90s. And at low 90s relative to the thermal coal at that price, there really was no incremental incentive to be producing the semi at that time. Now, as long as if you can't sell it, of course you can sell it, but you're only going to get $94. But why would you do that when you've got Maules Creek Thermal, which at the time, plus its premium, would have achieved a better result than that for you? So I don't think, as we highlighted during the last quarter, it's the same theme, that you've got to be cautious as to how you do it. What we said back at that time was that for the long-term customers with whom we're looking to cement strong volume relationships, then we would do that. But during that time, I have to say that there was, given the compression of that spread, you're less incentivized to do that for the incremental spot sale. As I say, going back to the steady customers, if you've got the POSCOs and Nippon Steels of this world who wanted more volume from you, you're going to do that. But then again, we're now past the point of having to ask for a Platts sales price with them, and then we're just going straight on to the quarterly settlements with those more established players. Does it mean that there's a change in terms of the long-term mix for Maules Creek? No, not at all. Not at all. I wouldn't have said that's the cause for concern at all. And if we've got gyrations in mix between one quarter and another, certainly our long-term plans, we don't see any need to revise the split that we said, that we get to 50-50 over 5 years for that mine, because that's the big driver, obviously, of the met mix in our business, as you well know. So, no, nothing that we can see there, I would have said, is going to cause us to revise our plans along the way.
Okay, and so was the quarterly, throughout the quarter, were the sales volumes weighted to, I guess, months where we were below the average in terms of getting 109? If I look at 109 versus the benchmark and the quarterly average for semi-soft, it's lower than both. Just trying to reconcile that.
Yeah. Look, I'm not entirely sure, Lynn, where your 127 come from. I saw your note earlier. That's not reflective of what I would have thought. What was potentially achievable if you were 100% exposed to that benchmark for the entirety of your production during the last quarter. We're certainly not offering any discounts to anybody other than new customers where we feel there's an incentive to get them to trial the coal. When we do that, as I said in previous discussions, we're offering about a 5% adjustment to that benchmark price to motivate people to do that. In some instances, I mentioned also, some of these customers aren't benchmark customers at all. They're Platts customers. As I said, if you put some tons in the hands of someone during the quarter that is a Platts customer, then you've got anywhere between, I think, 94 and, what's our number there?
93 to 130.
To 130. So there's quite a wide spread there during the course of that quarter that you're exposed to. So on the whole, 109, we're quite satisfied that we've achieved the best outcome we can with a collection of pricing regimes that are in place and the different types of customer contracts that we have.
All right. Thanks a lot, Paul. Cheers.
Thank you very much. Your next question comes from the line of Peter O'Connor of Shaw and Partners. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Hi, Paul. I have three questions. First, just to clarify on Lyndon's question, did you say a 5% discount you're offering versus contract or versus Platts?
Yeah, versus contract.
Right, got it. Look, my three questions are Narrabri, firstly, for Jamie. Jamie, firstly, congratulations on getting through that fault. That's a seriously good outcome, so well done. Can you just talk us through that drilling program for longwall 10, 11, what you're doing? And these are normally gopher drainage holes, I'm guessing, so they don't go through the seam. So are you talking about putting a closer spacing and a longer hole down to test for displacement And if so, what's the spacing? How does it change? How long are these holes? And what does that program look like? And any other lessons learnt on Narrabri and going through it and what you'd use for the next wall?
Yeah, Peter, in terms of that program we've put in place for Block 110, now we're still doing SIS drilling there, so we're getting information, you know, through the logging we do of that hole. But as I said in the last call, I mean, the definition or the, you know, the level of you know, certainty you get from that is less, you know. But on top of that, the in-seam drilling will commence shortly, you know, for gas drainage. Once again, we just need to get the main gate from 109 up a little bit further than where it is at the moment to start that. But what we are doing right now is we've mobilised an exploration rig. So these are not gof holes we're drilling. These are, you know, open hole exploration. We're going to drill 10 holes. But I guess we needed to obviously wait until we got some of the information back from the SIS program to delineate the best location for those 10 holes. So that's really what we're doing now, and you know, that'll take us, you know, probably 2-3 months to finish that program. So as Paul indicated, we'll be able to give an update, I guess, of that information in the next call.
And lessons learned on going through a 3-metre fault? You set up to 4, you'd go through. Why not full seam? Is there any... is it just an equipment issue, logistics?
No, as I did say, given the success that we had, I guess we are evaluating, you know, the potential, I guess, for 108 and 109. I think it's too early to start, you know, cheering, you know, for that. But we are going to seriously look at the possibility of doing that, given the success in 107.
Okay. And, Jamie, maybe another one for you. Moores Creek, the equipment arrives, Paul said, at the end of this fiscal year, fiscal 18, and I think he said you should be ready to run at that rate of 13 in 19. But what's the ramp-up profile? When in 19 do you hit that 13, and what sort of transition?
Yeah, it'll be the second half of 19, I guess, we'll hit that run rate of 13. I mean, the equipment actually starts to arrive through the second half of this financial year, so the trucks will start arriving, you know, sort of early to mid that second half, and then obviously the excavator is the, you know, the key unit. You've got to load the trucks with something. It won't arrive until the back end of the second half of this financial year. But as we've indicated, it'll be, you know, delivered, commissioned, and in the ground, ready to start producing. We're saying, you know, 1 July. And then, of course, the ramp up, we're saying, look, give us 6 months, second half of 19, we'll hit that 13 run rate.
Got it. Hey, lastly, Paul, on stock levels, what's the appropriate level of stock to hold at the current production sales rate across the group?
Look, I think it varies. It varies, Peter. We don't want to sort of be constrained by you know, a fixed tonnage set of parameters. I mean, of course, last year, as we said, we asked a little bit more of those smaller production pits to give us a bit more, and that all came at the back end of the year as we knew it would. So we've carried a bit more tons into this year. I mean, of course, we would try and minimise the amount of stock we've got at any one point in time as a general working capital principle. But as you know, in our instance, we've got two dimensions to that. We've got stocks at the mines, and then we've also got stocks at port, NCIG obviously being the case in point. Our view is to try and decouple the production process from, you know, execution of sales by making sure we've always making full use of, you know, the stockpile footprint that we have at NCIG, and you know, I think that's particularly important given, you know, the distance we are from the port, and even more important in the context of, you know, if there's a rail outage for whatever reason, be that weather or derailment or strike activity, and that serves us very well. But I would have said last year, based on the volume you saw us produce ROM last year, that would have been the upper level of where we wanted to be stock-wise.
Great. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you very much. Your next question comes from the line of Duncan Simmons of Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Oh, good afternoon, gents. So I just wanted to change topics just to Vickery for the moment. So a couple of questions there is, the timeline for the EIS looks to be nicely coinciding with the New South Wales election. I just wondered if you can clarify who gives final approval for the mine. Is it state or federal? Maybe some comments on political support from both parties. I guess I'm cognizant, looking at the IRR, it looks pretty good for the project, but wondering about political footballs. And then probably two further follow-ups is just on optimisation. You've spent a little bit more time on that. Are we still thinking around the $600 to $700 million band in terms of CapEx? And then finally, just on the mine, it looks like it'll have a big impact on the semi-market. Do you need to lock up sufficient contracts before you press the button in terms of go forward? Or do you think that attracting an equity partner will cover that risk? And that's it. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Duncan. Look, timing politically, you know, it's I take your point that the elections are due. Look, we've allowed 18 months in our typical, in that timeline, the indicative timeline that we've given. But you need both state and federal. You can't have one without the other. Unfortunately, the project has to go to the federal level as well, as it relates to water in particular, is the dimension that they're most concerned with. Not that there isn't a necessary concern with, but that's the aspect that the feds look at in particular. Look, I don't see, there's nothing that we've seen that's particularly challenging with the Vickery proposition from an approvals perspective. As we already know, it's already approved, so we could open it today if we wanted at the 4.5 million tonnes. Now, we've said repeatedly that we think the bigger version is a much better project than the smaller one. Look, it's an area that's been mined before, as you well know, in Rio's hands. The bigger version of the project has a number of very important societal and community benefits that the smaller version doesn't have. And so all the discussion we've had with both the state and federal level bureaucrats is that you know, they're well aware of the improved proposition that the project represents in its bigger form. And look, I haven't seen any particular concerns that have been raised by either governments about this submission. Look, it's approval of the coal project, you know, in you know, our current political environment. So it's always going to draw its level of attention. But as far as approvals go, this is probably one of the most benign ones you've seen submitted in more recent times. It's already approved. It's an existing area which has previously been mined in a community that's got over 100 years of mining history to it, and you know, area that we largely own, which is largely pretty average grazing land in the past. And so, look, we don't think it's a particularly interesting proposition from that perspective at all. So all our work, given that environment, has been about making sure that any of the important aspects of noise, dust, water, and so on has been not only subject to a rigorous review from our own advisors, but then it's been subject to then peer review then after to make sure we hand it over to the government in a very complete form that hopefully makes it easier for them to approve. Cost estimates, no change. In fact, the work that we're doing, as I say, the optimisation actually is improving that rather than going the other way. So shouldn't be concerned about that in any regard. And as far as semi-soft sales go, yeah, look, we would dearly love to have a met coal off-taker in there. And so the preliminary discussions that we've been having with parties along the way has been trying to entice interest in that, because we think that would be a very positive thing for the project itself. It's not going to obviously materialise in 50 to 60% of met coal on day one, obviously. So we would, as we've done with Maules, we would bring that on in a measured way and build the penetration into the semi market. In the case of Vickery, the semi quality is very good and probably would be the best that we've got in our portfolio. So I think that'll find a home, given it's got the stronger coking properties and also got the same low ash, low sulphur profile that our Maules semi does as well.
Okay, thanks very much for clarifying that, Paul.
Thank you very much. Your next question comes from the line of Andrew Hodge of Macquarie. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Thanks, guys. Just two questions. One just on Vickery, following up from the question before. I just wanted to check to see what was going with the optimization work in the last quarter, in the June quarterly. You were saying that it should have been completed by the end of September. Is it just sort of trying to get it aligned to what you were saying, Paul, about that bigger project, or is there something else?
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. Look, there's nothing. I was just waiting for your second part of your question, but I'll answer this one.
I'll answer the second question afterwards. It was just really just trying to understand what the why the optimization. It was the optimization work just taking longer, or is there something else going on about why it is that it wasn't completed by the end of the quarter?
Yeah. Look, thanks for the question. Look, it's nothing particularly contentious. It's just improvements to infrastructure. Opportunities that have presented themselves, and their engagement with individual landowners in the region, and look, as much as we like to hurry those things along, those things happen at a pace that is reflective of the fact that there's us who want to go quickly and those who work at their own pace. So look, I'm not overly concerned about the time, other than the fact that we'd like it to happen sooner rather than later. I'm encouraged by all the work that's been done because I know it's adding really good value to the project. And as I say, we're at that stage now where I think it'll be sorted out before too long, and we can move on. As we know, look, aside from anything else, I mean, a quarter here or there doesn't really drive the needle too much in terms of the project itself. We would like to bring it on as soon as we can, no doubt about it. But I'm very cautious about rushing people who don't want to be rushed in discussions that are important to us and as I say, adding material benefit to the project. So we have to work with them at a timeline that suits them, not ourselves, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no problem. And then the second thing as well is just coming back to the question about Maules Creek and I guess what's that the split for you guys in terms of saying this is the value proposition between switching between thermal and met. What does, if you can give us sort of an indication about sort of the cost to be able to try and switch in and what's that value gap for you guys to make the decision point to try and change the product mix?
Yeah, I think I've said in the past that $10 US certainly will do it for us over and above our premiums on our thermal. No problem at all at that level. So at this level, 116, even at Platts, so if you've got a new customer turns up, does want to buy on JPU, on the JSM price, 116, you'll do it. So that sort of gives you a sense of the economics. $10 US, for sure, we will do it, over and above our premium on thermal.
And just given that the volumes on semi-soft for the quarter sort of sub 400, you're still happy with the 3.5 guidance for Maules Creek for semi-soft?
Yep, Andrew, fine at this point in time. Yeah, nothing, like I say, the incremental buying out of China doesn't seem to be as voluminous as it's been in the past. We're watching that, but at this point in time, we don't see the need to revise that, no.
And just a last really minor point, but just the Maules Creek thermal premium just dropped really slightly back to 8%, which is kind of what it was this time last year. So should we just be kind of thinking this is a seasonal thing that typically in the first quarter it's lower and then afterwards it's higher?
Look, you're right, and we've said that it's slightly less, but that percentage expressed as a total percentage is made up of two components, one of which is the energy benefit, which is a linear relationship with the price. And the second component of that is a fixed dollar sum in US dollars. That's for, you know, the ash sulfur premium. And as the price is higher, the underlying GC Newt price is higher, it looks like a smaller percentage over time. But if you're, but it's actually a fixed dollar sum. So half that premium essentially is a fixed dollar sum, half it's a linear price adjustment based on quality.
That's all my questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Your next question comes from the line of Matthew Frydman of Deutsche Bank. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Sure. Hi, Paul. Just wondering if there was any further detail that you can provide on the thermal realised pricing for the quarter as a split compared to the prior quarter. Clearly, you sold more high CV thermal and did also sell just a little bit more low CV thermal, presumably including some of the purchased coal sales. But the thermal realised price was about a 3% discount to the GC Nuke this quarter versus a 4% premium in the last quarter. And again, despite the strong premium for Maules, high-quality thermal product as we just spoke about. So I was just wondering if there's any further detail you can give on what might be driving that. Thanks.
Yeah, look, I think, Matthew, if you're looking at the realisations, if you, you know, obviously the low CV was a little bit higher proportionally in this period, and you know, given that you're getting, as I say, 80 in some instances, and at the top of that, I think we're about 84 for the quarter. So looking at those range of dollars, if you times that by the proportion, you're going to obviously get several dollars, say about $3 less than what you would get from the average of Nuke for the period. I mean, that's a very, very small discount for low CV sales, as I was saying earlier. So that's very good business in that sense. I mean, the other thing to remember also is the JPU numbers themselves, the annual JPU contracts, and I know people have obviously preferred us to have a greater exposure to that in previous periods than this, but that would be a bit of a curse if you were attached to that in volume at the moment, because that number is some $84, just under $85. So if you had more tonnes associated with that, then we would be recording an even larger discount to the average of Nuke during the period, taking our thermal sales as a whole. So I think at that point of realisation, that looks pretty good. I think it'll be interesting, I'm sure, with your analysis when the reporting for some of our competitors is published, then you'll be able to see what they've been able to achieve from their average realisations across their whole portfolio. I think in quarters going forward, as we said, obviously, Werris Creek's tonnes in particular is the one that, you know, mostly drives our low CV sales. That's a little bit higher this quarter than it will be in subsequent quarters. But otherwise, as I say, that's a very good outcome for those tonnes at, you know, $80 to $84.
Sure. So potentially compared to the prior quarter where you actually achieved a premium, part of that reason for the current quarter might be sort of timing of shipments compared to the benchmark. Could that potentially be a driver?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. As I say, quarter on quarter, it does move around, and as you see, the mix is different this time around, and I expect that to normalise over the balance of the year.
Sure. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you very much. Your next question comes from the line of Glyn Lowcock of UBS. Your line is open. Please ask your question.
Good morning, Paul. Paul, I think the devil's in the detail a little bit, I guess, and unfortunately you're a pure play coal company, and, you know, unfortunately when we look at everyone else, your peers, you know, they don't give the detail you give. So I think you've been caught a little bit by that this quarter. If you just look at on a year, let's not worry about a quarter, but on a year, how much do you think, you know, you did 72% high CV, 13% met, 15% low CV. And I'd hasten to say that we're all disappointed by your price realization for the quarter, both on met and thermal. But if I just look at the business on a go-forward year-by-year basis, not quarter-by-quarter, how much low CV should I be expecting? How much high CV and how much metallurgical? And how should I think about that moving forward? Because I think we're all, I think, disappointed this quarter. But I think we probably should not be concerned by one quarter, but look at what it looks like on a go-forward basis.
Oh, well, Glyn, I'm sorry I haven't met your targets. I'm meeting the ones that the board sets. And, you know, I think that, yeah, I'll leave it at that. Yeah, as we said repeatedly, Werris Creek obviously is the main driver for the low CV sales. Now, last year that was, you know, a couple of million tonnes. This year it's going to be in that range. That is a proportion of the total of our, and obviously we own 100% of that. That is a proportion of the total of our equity sales for the period. You know, it's going to be in that 11 to 12% type range. That's the sort of percentage you should expect to see from that. Now, over time, certainly the last 12 months, and I expect it to be a feature of this 12 months as well and going forward, we've been moving we've been moving some of those tons of low CV sales out of Korea and angling them more into the Taiwanese market, where we're getting better value for those tons. As I say, $80 to $84 is a pretty solid result for, you know, the 57, 58 kcal type material. So that's where I would expect it to go. If you're looking at an annual basis, you know, it's really limited to that. Tara, as you know, is not a big producer at all of that type of material. Maules, no, not at all. You know, Narrabri doesn't at all. So that's really the limit of it. Rocky has some, but you know, when you wash that, actually comes out to a quite a nice Skoda-based product. And so yeah, so there's no surprises there. I mean, it's, as we say, it vacillates from one month to the next. There's no doubt about it, and we can't do much about that with shipments being what they are. But over the year, that's the limit of it.
Yep. No, look, I totally appreciate that, but I mean, I guess it does feel like that's a higher number than what we had previously thought as a market, I would say. You know.
Well, I don't know who you're referring to when you say the we. We've been very clear that Werris Creek isn't a Skoda mine. And we've been very clear on that, and we've been very clear with people also that that is the source of our non-Skoda production. So I'm not quite sure how people would be, you know, assessing that to be any different from volumetrically from what it is that we've given guidance for that particular operation in the year.
Yep, granted, but clearly the market's disappointed today. So, you know, there's obviously a difference of opinion. So we'll move on. Any thoughts on cash generation over the quarter? I mean, clearly... prices have you haven't given us an indication of cash generation. Are you prepared to give any insight into how your balance sheet's moved over the quarter?
Look, we haven't given any guidance, obviously, just given us a production report, as you know, Glyn. So other than to say, look, I'll say that our cost performance has been in line with the expectations, probably been at the better end of the expectations that we've given people. So that's positive. You know, revenue is what it is. So we think the revenue has been generation has been strong. You're saying it's a little bit disappointing. Currency, you know what that is. So look, I mean, you could extrapolate that out pretty quickly and realise that the company's continuing to delever at a pace. And so by the time we get to the half year, when we'll publish our full financial results, you know, but for a dividend, you know, we'll be in a pretty lightly levered state, if I can say that.
Yep, no, that's cool. And apologies if I've missed it, but has the ATO ruling come through yet?
The ATO ruling doesn't come out until after the AGM. The ATO doesn't issue a ruling on it until after you've actually held that meeting. So it'll come out.
Okay, so it's all
on track as discussed.
Okay, so I should get my 20 cents sometime later in the month.
In November.
Our expectation is that we'd make that payment in towards the back end of November. AGM 25th approval. There's just some procedural things internally with participants and employee share schemes that might want to convert their rights. So we just want to keep that option open for employees and. So we'll naturally work through that in the course following the AGM and make that payment in November.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Then. So an extra month I've got to wait. All right. All right, that's great. Thank you so much.
I'll lend you my Opal card to get to work, Glenn.
What's an Opal card?
I thought you might say that.
You fell for that one.
Thank you very much. There are no further questions at this time. Mr. Flynn, please continue.
All right, then. Thank you, everyone, for your time. Appreciate you taking the time and dialing in again. If there's any further questions, you know where to find us, and we'll see you all in due course as we continue to touch base with each of you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect. Thank you.